Probably a good idea we pray, huh? Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. So much going on in the world, Lord, we just do not understand. Help us to get along. Whew. We behave like a bunch of babies. Help us to reflect your love in what we say and do. Please stop the terrorism, Lord. The slaughter of the innocents, the hostages. Help us not just pray for peace, but to work for peace, please, Lord. Help. Help us to be mindful of the pain of others. In your name, Jesus. Amen. So the reading was from Romans 8. Do you want to give yourself a treat? During the Vikings game tomorrow night when they're losing, go to chapter 8. Just read the entire 8th chapter of Romans. It's great. It ends with this. Nothing in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in ours in Christ Jesus. Nothing. The statement that was read by Pastor Hammerson, do you remember how it went? For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if heirs, then heirs, joint heir with Christ Jesus. If in fact we suffer, so that we may also be glorified in him. No one gets out of here without pain. That's one of Paul's lines. I translate it differently. So this Paul character, it's amazing to me who God chooses to use in this book, the characters to carry the message of God's love. Paul was what? Mean, cruel, nasty. He had lots of personal issues, used to round up Christians and have them arrested and killed. Then he had that come to Jesus moment, right? But the people that God uses in this book, they're a bunch of characters. Everyone's got issues. And the people he used, people with issues carry the message of God's love. So a question is, you got any issues? Of course we do. How are you carrying the message of Christ's love today? Mm-hmm. I agree. Amen. And then that line in there. Did you get stuck on this one? Did you catch? All who are led by the Spirit are children of God. Not just like that little angel back there who said amen. But you. Do you believe that? Have you ever viewed yourself in that way? I know we don't always act like children of God. Just look in the mirror. But you are a child of God, precious gift from God. Maybe I'm reading that wrong. Sure says it to me. Why church? So we can change and grow. Do you know where that line came from? Do you know a guy named Pastor David Lowe's? He's got a website out there that's been out there for some time, a podcast called Working Preacher. So December 30th of 2013, he said this, I am a beloved child of God, and God will use me to change the world. Love that. Well, I wonder what would happen if when we woke up in the morning and looked in the mirror, if we repeated that to ourselves on a regular basis. I am a beloved child of God, and God will use me to change the world. How about you try that? Try that for a week when you wake up, and don't say, oh, good Lord, it's morning. I say, hey, Lord, it's morning. Look in the mirror. I am God's beloved child, and God will use me to change the world. Yes. So why church? Well, because it helps us become aware of God's gaze of love upon us. Of all people, God loves us. You're a child of God. Jesus said it beautifully in the chapter 15 of the Gospel of John. He says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." Before we had anything to do with it, God chose us. Psalm 139 says what? "The Lord knit you together in your mother's womb. You are fearfully and wonderfully made, you." Someone put it this way. Before you were a butcher, a baker, or a candlestick maker, you were God's child, and God chose you. God chose you first, and that love, through the Spirit, enables us to change and bring change for the better. You. And then did you notice that word adoption? Adopted as an heir. Bought with a price. Right? I think it's 1 Peter 1:19 that says what? Bought with the precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through his death and resurrection, the spotless Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You. Adopted. No more slavery living in fear. Nothing to prove. You ever get stuck in this stinking thinking? Thinking that sometimes we think we have to earn our way to heaven? If I just do this. No offense, doing good deeds is really, really important. Doesn't get you into heaven. Whenever we have that, oh, I must, I should, I could, that's living in the slavery of fear. I haven't done enough. Anyone ever read Max Lucado? I stole this from him. He tells a story about living in fear versus living in freedom in Christ. So the story goes that one day he got dropped by his insurance company. He received a letter that he had too many speeding tickets and fender benders, and he thought about that as not being good enough for the insurance company. So he thought, what's the spiritual parallel to that? So he wrote a letter. Quite a character, this Max. He wrote a letter from the Pearly Gates Underwriting Division. Right? "Dear Mr. Smith, I'm writing this in response to this morning's request for forgiveness. I'm sorry to inform you that you have reached your quota of sins. Our records show that you have erred 7 times in the area of greed, and your prayer life is substandard when compared to others. Further review reveals that your understanding of doctrine is in the lower 20th percentile, and you have excessive tendencies to gossip. Because of your sins, you are considered a high-risk candidate for heaven. You understand that grace has its limits. Jesus sends his regrets and his kindest regards and hopes you will find some other coverage elsewhere." What a beautiful thing to say. But isn't that what we say as people? We have to do certain things if I'd follow all the commandments. Now, don't get me wrong, it's really important to follow all the commandments and outdo one another in showing love, but that doesn't get us in. Instead of believing that we're free from our past, some of us hold on to stuff that we think is so horrible that God could never forgive me. Want to bet? He stretches out his arms on the cross and says, "Bring it all. Lay it down at the foot of the cross. Give it all to God." Yes, yes, yes. Of course, we will never receive a letter like that because you are a child of God and God loves you. Doesn't it say somewhere in the book, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only son"? I see that at football games, right? John 3:16. Or how about this one from Isaiah 43? Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you walk through the waters, the fires of life, do not fear, for I am with you. You are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. You are a precious gift from God. You are a precious gift from God. That changes us, doesn't it? Here and here, and helps us to continue to grow. God bless you. It's so good to be with you. Thanks for making a difference in the lives of others. Amen.